Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Nancy Anderson is with us, folks. She's a new friend. Nancy is the author of the best-selling book, Work with Passion. She is a career counselor, has been doing this now for some time, and started when she was very young. Her new book is called Work with Passion in Midlife and Beyond. Reach your full potential and take the money you need and make the money you need. Nancy Anderson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. So, when you say midlife, when you talk about working with passion in midlife, I know what beyond means. But what do you call midlife?
Well, nowadays it's, you know, we're all living longer, but it still starts around age 39 and runs up to, say, the late 40s, right in there. That's when the big change happens, you know.
It's hard to imagine that we've got Gen Xers approaching midlife, isn't it?
I know. Oh, well, you know,
you're probably in that group, aren't you, Nancy? I mean, I've seen your picture.
Just barely past it.
Yeah, I've seen your picture.
Well, the thing about midlife is that it gives us a chance to become who we really are. You know, the first half of life, we're pretty much who we think we're supposed to be. We're trying on different masks, you know, different personas, different things. It's what we're supposed to do, experiment.
And there's some games in there, aren't there?
Well, of course.
And we not only play games with other people, sometimes we play games with ourselves.
Well, I think it gets down to trying to please people, trying to get their approval. And I think that again, is where we have the problem. So when we hit that midpoint in life, what happens is deep inside of us, we get tired of that. And the real person we are starts to come out. And if we don't let go of those old ways and the old self, that's what causes the midlife crisis, because we're holding on to something that isn't really us.
Yeah.
And especially if we're entrepreneurial in our inclination, because we get tired of reporting to people, and then we start having conflicts on the job, you know, with bosses and lots of fireworks, and we get fired or we get laid off or something like that, when really what's going on is we want out, but we don't know what it is we want to do. So sometimes my clients will set it up so they get fired. And, you know, they say, oh, you know, it was this and that. And I said, yeah, but the truth is you really wanted out, didn't you?
Yeah, it's sort of like somebody there. I've seen people do that. You know, Nancy, in the 70s, I read Gail Sheehy's book, Passages.
Mm-hmm.
And she said something, and I was pretty young in those days. I was in my 20s. And she said, when I turned 40, I realized no more baloney. Now, that wasn't the word determinant she used. But she said, after 40, I realized no more baloney.
Right.
And what happened to me, without even realizing, without thinking about that, when I turned 40, I started thinking about this. I started thinking, you know, I want to move toward people and things that make me happy and away from people and things that make me unhappy.
Well, that's exactly what I describe in the book, that transition. And one of the reasons I wrote the book was because so many of my clients had trouble making that shift. You know, it's one thing to say that, what you just said, it's another thing to live it, because we have a lot of structures around us that have built in to that false persona. You know, it could
obligations
be friends,
are part
it could
of that.
Be friends, it could be our job, it could be our marriage, it could be a lot of things. Yep. Suddenly all
kids
that
in
stuff,
college and all that, sometimes you feel like you're held hostage, don't you?
Well, and that's exactly why I tell people, start with small steps, you know, because if you try to throw over the whole shebang, you're going to be in big trouble financially.
Well, that's what the classic midlife crisis looks like, isn't it?
It's right. It's because you're trying to do too much too soon, and you have to take it slowly and steadily, and then you're going to really have the second half of your life is going to be the most creative. So that's why I suggest that people start by completely clearing out their environment, you know, getting rid of all the clutter, get rid of all the excess stuff.
Is there anything this gender related about midlife crisis. Are men more likely to have a midlife crisis than women?
No, no, no. This is a human condition. We're
it's not a gender thing.
All around the world.
But men, are men more dramatic about their midlife than women are? Is that the case?
It's not really a gender issue in my experience.
You're not going along with me. You're not going to play along with me at all.
No. Well, I have to go along with what I see and what I experience, and my men clients and my women clients. If I close my eyes, I hear the exact same thing coming out of the mouths of both men and women. It's
right.
not a gender issue. It's
right.
a human issue, and we've got to get on with it in the second half of life. Because, you know, there's a sense of urgency, especially now because of the economy.
Do you think that the current crop of midlifers are experiencing a different environment than, say, my generation did, the boomers? Think things are different for that group than
it
is?
Well, it may feel like that, but deep down, as I said, this is a universal experience.
Yeah.
The economy goes up and down. But human nature never changes. You know,
well, the reason I say that
is
back when, let's say 20, 40, even 40 years ago, the society was so structured that if you did anything out of the norm, a light was really shined on you.
Well, in that
whereas today, aren't things seem to be a little less structured, a little more fluid? What do you think?
Well, you're correct about that, and mainly because of all of the different entrepreneurial activities.
Right.
The jobs were just limited in those days.
Right.
There was just a very few things you could do. But no, the thing about today is that there are so many more opportunities, but in a way, that creates a different problem because people say, "How do I choose? What do I do? I got an email yesterday from a man just in the age group we're talking about. And he says, "I'm clueless. You know, I've been doing this music business all of my life, but I'm not interested in it anymore. And it scares me."
Right.
And see, that's the issue: is that if you've been doing something and you're fairly good at it, and you think, "I don't want to do this
anymore,"
you're
held hostage.
It opens up a tremendous amount of fear.
Yeah.
Of poverty, you know.
Well,
my
this
God.
Is one of the big things that, to me, that's one of the real unfortunate things about growing older, especially in the midlife, is when you feel like you're held hostage by your past.
Yeah. Well, there's a way that you can deal with the past, though, and that's why in the book I show people how to write an autobiography that starts with their grandparents. Because before I got into this business, I was trained as a writer. So I use the technique with my clients of saying, okay, you're not going to understand the main character in any story unless you go back two generations.
Hold on to that thought, Nancy. Will you help us write that autobiography when we come back?
I will.
This is a good... I like this. This is good stuff, folks. Nancy Anderson, the book is called Work With Passion in Midlife and Beyond. And if you're not in midlife, folks, pay attention. It's going to be here quicker than you think or want. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Marshall Tucker bringing us back. Welcome back, 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I hope you check it out when you get a chance. If you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, you can find me at Jim Blassingame. Nancy Anderson is with us. She's our new friend. Work With Passion in Midlife and Beyond is the title of her new book. Nancy, tell us how we can find you and how can we find your book.
Well, workwithpassion.com is my website, and there's a lot of content there your listeners can discover, and then they can find the book on any of the online bookstores or in their local bookstore.
So check that out, folks.
It just came out in March.
Yeah, good. That's the new one now.
That's the new one, right.
Of course, you may already have Work With Passion. That's your first book.
Well, the first book came out in 1984. It was actually the first book to put together the two words, passion and work, so it was sort of the groundbreaker. Met with a lot of resistance at that time, I'll tell
you. Really?
Oh, yeah, because a lot of people said, especially now, you want to talk about gender. The men had the most trouble with the book when it came out. They said, you are just blowing smoke. How in the world can I do that with kids and a mortgage and everything? And, yeah, I got people call me up when I was on the radio, and they would give me heck. You know,
yeah.
One guy even drove off the freeway to find a phone. You know, that was before cell phones. And told me I had no right to be saying these things. And the guy that was interviewing me said, I had no idea this topic was going to stir up so much hostility.
Wow.
I said, well, you would if you knew how many people hated their jobs. And
right.
Now they hate me because I'm telling them they have an option. So I'm not.
Well, you were helping to get this whole thing started, and you're exactly right. I mean, I remember those days very, very much. But one of the things that you advise is to write an autobiography. This is, folks, this is, tell us, before we get into this quickly, tell the audience, what would they need to be feeling right now? What would they need to be thinking? What would their attitude need to be about their life for them to follow your advice with this?
Well, first of all, they need to be completely open. And as I said, get rid of all of this.
But where's the pain, Nancy?
Well, the pain is going to come from the fear that you're going to do this and it's not going to work.
Oh.
And that you're going to spend all of this time. And maybe there's nobody in there. Maybe I don't have a real self. You know,
right.
Maybe I just
But
settle.
What are they feeling in their life right now? Are they feeling frustrated? Are they feeling...
Well, desperate would be the best
desperate
feeling,
yeah,
to be feeling, because that's what's going to make you do the work.
If you feel desperate, folks, write the autobiography. Think about this autobiography that Nancy's going to talk about. You said start with your grandparents.
Yeah, because the grandparents' belief systems about money and work were passed down through the family, just like, you know, familiar antiques.
Right.
And a lot of those beliefs are okay, but some of them are totally obsolete for the reasons that you were talking about earlier, because it's a totally different world now, financially and economically.
Right.
So if you look back in the family, like one of my clients, he discovered that every single person in the family, every man in the family, expected to be disappointed. And he himself was repeating that same pattern, and he didn't realize it. It was just one of those
things. They expected to be disappointed.
Yeah, that life was going to let him down. If there was really no use in struggling,
wow,
you might as well just drink. You might as well just, you know, forget.
Wow.
It was a very deep despair that was running through the family.
That's sad.
Well, it is. And so, but he was able to uncover it and realize that a lot of the stuff he was feeling wasn't really his. It was coming down from his grandfather, who was the Great Depression. And, you know, we're struggling right now in the Great Recession. But, you know, the Great Depression lasted 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's a long time to be depressed. So,
have you heard the term, you're either a product of your raising or a reaction to your raising?
I have.
I use that all the time because I use it on myself to check my position. And the way I understand that is if you react to your raising, that means that you're it's a negative reaction, and you sort of make yourself a little bit of a victim. But if you're a product of your raising, you say, okay, this is how I was raised. Let me take the things that are good about that and build on that. Don't make those mistakes, but let me make my own mistakes. What do you think?
Well, that takes a great deal of objectivity in order to get there. That's a very mature way to look at things, and that's one of the reasons why writing about the past helps you get there, because, you know, each one of us has a story,
mm-hmm,
and we're here for a certain purpose in order to understand, well, what is that? You've got to go back and see, well, what is the theme that keeps running through my story? What kind of choices do I make that always turn out well? What kind of choices do I make that never turn out well, no matter how hard I try? And those are the choices that you need to stop making now and focus on the ones that turned out well. And that requires that you spend the time to really look and examine things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the main thing about the past is not to react to it or to be a product of it as much as to understand it.
Right.
If you understand it, then you'll say, oh, okay, I get it now. I don't have to repeat that. I don't have to be disappointed.
But wouldn't it be a good idea to say, I love your autobiography idea. I think that's a wonderful idea, because to me it's like writing a resume. I think if you want to find out whether you're qualified to be a business owner, get your own resume and see if you would hire yourself.
Well, it's going to show up pretty soon if you're an entrepreneurial type.
Right.
Because like with me, I was selling mangoes to my neighbors when I was 8 years old, and they had mango trees in their backyard. You know, so I wanted to go to the movies on Saturday, and that's how I could pay my way.
Right, right.
So, and I see this in people's stories, you know, that very early they started to figure out ways to make money or to put themselves out there in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even realize that these are signs that they should
right.
be on their own.
Right.
And on the other hand, they may see that in their past they've never really had put themselves in a position to make the decisions that they need to make early. So now
right.
is the time to start that. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't be an entrepreneur if you don't like to make decisions.
Right. Or if you have a complete aversion to any risk.
Well,
that's,
of course.
That's the truth.
If you want to play it safe. And
yeah. Go get a
call.
Job. Hey, Nancy, give us the website again, please.
It's workwithpassion.com.
And the book is called Work With Passion in Midlife and Beyond. That's the new book, available wherever books are sold. Nancy, will you come back?
I would most certainly love to.
I've enjoyed having you here. You did
well,
good.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll get you back again real soon. Nancy Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, check out her book and her website. Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. I promise I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.